Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanText.com on Sports Radio 610.
So, Wade, you were talking about some of the, Patriots way type coaches that you've dealt with before. So I'm guessing you haven't really dealt too much with a Dan Campbell type. But is there a particular way that a coach needs to act at press conferences and in front of the fans that tells you he's a winner? First things first, Dan Campbell was named Grand Marshal of the Detroit Grand Prix. And this was Campbell showing up with a racing helmet at his press conference.
Gives me a chance to go out and see some of our fans who I know will be out there, but then just watch a good race, man, around some good people. So I'm pretty excited about it.
I've been to a couple. They weren't the Grand Prix, but I spent the time on the infield in a fifth-wheel trailer with some friends. Barbecuing and drinking a little beer. So this will be a whole new experience for me.
First things first, I don't think Dan Campbell is capable of drinking a little beer. I think when he opens a beer,
yeah,
it's on. But it got me to thinking, especially after you're talking about, you know, you played for Saban and, Mangini and some of these others. You ever had a Dan Campbell type in your past?
No, I've never had a coach like Dan Campbell, but I think one thing about Dan Campbell is he's authentic. Now, we talked about it earlier, like, hey, don't be something that you're not. Guys can see right through that. Players mm-hmm. will be able to see. If you're trying to be something that you're not, you'll see right through it, and so you'll lose respect for that person in his authority role or his authoritative position.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Campbell is who he is, and so you can take that and say, hey, he's going to be like this all the time. The antics aren't going to bother you. Now, the problem they're going to run into is which I fully expect them to struggle early on in the year,
yeah.
Those antics are going to get old quick because guys are going to want – there's certain type of – pretty much every NFL player has had some sort of success at some stop in their career.
Yeah.
And there is a way that it's done, and they've seen it be successful. And so – the way Dan Campbell is doing things is not as conventional as what you would normally see. And so if it's unconventional and it's not working, guys are going to be like, hey, man, like we need to tighten up. We need somebody that's more, I guess, serious about it.
Authentic.
But no, he is authentic.
No, I'm saying players can see through when you're not being authentic.
Right, and he is authentic, but you can be authentic and not know what the hell you're doing.
That's true.
That's very important. Like
shout out to Freddie Kitchens.
I mean, yeah, you could be authentic as hell, but not be good at your job. And so mm-hmm. guys going to be like, yeah, this is all fun and dandy wearing this helmet and all this stuff, and you're being authentic and talking about drinking beer and eating barbecue, things that most of us enjoy doing.
Yeah.
But if you don't know how to be a coach, then that all bets are off. They want somebody that's going to help them win. And so, you know, it's all fine and dandy right now for Dan Campbell, all these antics and stuff. But when they're 1-8, is he still going to be doing the same thing?
Are
guys going to be responding?
It doesn't play as well.
It doesn't play as well at all.
But Mike Valeni from 97.1 in Sports Radio in Detroit, he said, quote, when he goes 2-15 this year, that stuff ain't going to be cute.
Oh, there you go.
We had this before. We had Rod Marinelli. We've had Marty Morningwig on a Harley and Oakley's and driving away from practice. We had the Terminator Jim Schwartz. Everything with Lions coaches is a bit. This is a cartoon. Dan Campbell doesn't look right running an NFL team right now. You're not going to see Nick Saban in a space helmet. You're not going to see Bill Belichick talking about kneecap biting. Now, here's the thing. It's playing really well with fans and media right now. But if you're talking about the kneecap biting thing, that's where this came from. It's when Campbell first, I guess the love affair first began.
The city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right, it's found a way to overcome adversity. All right, and so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth. All right, and when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. All right, and we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right, and on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
I loved that when it happened. Look, you're right. It's not going to play well. Nothing plays well when you're 1-8. But all I'm saying is that there seems to be a couple of biases working here against Detroit because they lost for so much.
Yeah.
You know, had he taken over a team that was a little more moderately success, I think there'd be a lot more patience with him and people would kind of embrace it a little more. And against a self-proclaimed, I'm not talking about, he calls himself a meathead. I just think that if he's authentic, and he can, you know, separate the two things, he can have a lot of success, and this is gonna be the way that he can win, and the only way he can win. The last thing, people lately are conditioned with hard asses. College football, Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, who have a little more personality, but he's really kind of a hard ass. NFL, Bill Belichick, you know, serious, stern, all this other stuff. But there is no right way to have a personality and win a Super Bowl.
No, there. I've seen it work both ways. I've seen, you know, dictatorships work, but it's basically with Bill Belichick. And I've seen it work the other way, with pretty much the way that everybody else wins Super Bowls in the NFL. Dan Campbell is in a position where I don't see him having success. And although he's authentic, how is he going to win without players?
Yeah.
Right? Their front office is going to have to do an amazing job of continuing to build that roster so that they can actually compete with some legitimate teams throughout this season and seasons to come.
Yeah.
And right now they're not dealing, they don't have a lot in the cupboard to mess with. So that's the first and foremost thing. I did like the coaching staff that he put together there. So the guys that are really dealing with the players on a day-to-day basis and going to be developing the guys, and especially young guys,
mm-hmm.
I think he put together a hell of a coaching staff. But, you know, do I see a lot of success for Dan Campbell coming? I just don't see it because you're fighting with one hand tied behind your back. And when you look at what's happened historically with the Detroit Lions, the one coach they had that they had some success with, some sustained success, they fired him and brought in another coach
mm-hmm.
that was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they've consistently done those out of the box signings. That he's our guy.
Yeah,
he's a Detroit Lion guy. And I mean that sounds good in press conferences, but how does it work effectively when you're actually playing ball games and making decisions and putting rosters together? And they have a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknowns, and I don't have any expectations of them having any success.
Right.
And that's the great thing for them is they have an opportunity to go out there and do it and prove it, but there's nothing that I'm seeing out of them that's saying, you know way, Detroit is going to be a problem in the near future. I just don't see that from them.
I think his biggest detriment is what you just said to start there. His resume doesn't scream head coach material.
Right.
You know, he's had some moments, but he doesn't really scream head coach material. I will say this, though. You can be a little bit off-center and win Super Bowls. Bruce Arians just did. Pete Carroll has got a lot of personality. He does some crazy things. And I know it wasn't built by him, but it still takes something. It still took something for Barry Switzer, who would have worn a helmet
right.
in a press conference, by the way, to win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys. I know it wasn't his team. But he went the distance. I mean, say what you will,
Yeah, I'm going to say what I will because I was watching that team up close.
I was at that game.
You could have coached the Cowboys to the Super Bowl back then. Like you'd have your own. You'd have a ring right now.
I was in Atlanta watching Barry Switzer do his thing.
He'd be Super Bowl champion.
Actually, he didn't do a whole lot.
Like Barry Switzer, He was a great college coach,
yeah.
But it was all about the players. Like he was great for college because he had great players, and, mm-hmm. and the same thing happened in the NFL when we won a Super Bowl. But he wasn't a developer of talent.
No, I was thinking more Arians and Carroll.
But Bruce Arians, yeah. He wasn't conventional because he wasn't an ass kicker, kisser. Mm-hmm. Like he didn't capitulate. He's gonna take. He's very very similar to what you're getting out of what's my coach in Eric Bieniemy.
Okay.
Like very similar attitude and approach to things where that's not going to play well necessarily when you're having discussions with owners of franchises that are not football guys. They're people that have made their money in the corporate world mm-hmm. outside of the NFL, and so it won't play as well. But Bruce Arians is a genius football coach. Like first and foremost, the way he calls offense and runs plays is he's genius level as far as that goes. And so, you know, that it's a little different. Same thing with Pete Carroll. Dan Campbell does not have any of those type of credentials. He's a hell of a position coach. I've heard that about him, but we'll see how it happens as a head coach. But the way he's going about it is definitely unconventional, and more times than not, that approach will fall flat on his face.
Around the NFL with Wade Smith, John Lopez, and Figgy Fig. How do you think the Aaron Rodgers thing is going to end up? The mandatory minicamp for the Packers, anyway, starts tomorrow. He's got to be there. I don't think either of us believes he will be there. How does it play out? What's going to be the end result?
First of all, he's not going to show up.
Yes.
They're not going to fine him. They're just going to give him an excused absence because they have the ability to do that. They would have to wait until training camp. And if he didn't show the training camp, then the CBA says you can't give an excused absence. But I think right now they're trying to do whatever they can to appease him, to make him as happy as possible. Because right now he's just kind of like, you know, it's a philosophical thing. And he's talking, you know, he's not angry. He's just, you know, you talk about relationships.
You actually don't do a bad Aaron Rodgers.
Listen, when your girl stops yelling at you and she's just quiet,
mm-hmm. it's over.
She's out.
It's
right?
over.
It's done.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to come up with some type of a Hail Mary to appease him and get him back into the fold. And I think a Hail Mary of, I don't know how many millions of dollars it's going to take.
Do you think money will do it?
For sure.
Yeah.
I really do.
He's got Jeopardy money waiting, perhaps.
That ain't real money. And no disrespect to the $10 million a year, but he can get 30-something million a year with an extension. And that's just a fraction of what he can make playing in the NFL. I think they're going to extend his contract. And he's going to be with the Packers for the next 3-4 years before he decides to walk off in the sunset.
I don't know. Just money, man. I don't know if that's going to do it or not.
I mean, maybe they let go of the GM guy, but I don't see them doing that.
Yeah.
And the way that their board works, and they're not going to make a rash move like that. They're going to cut him a check that pays him like he's the best quarterback in the league. And based off his MVP performance, he can say, I was the best quarterback in the league last year. Because right now he's not getting paid that way. You know, he's on, like, I think the fourth year of his deal or something like that. So he's getting paid big money, but it's not Deshaun money or Mahomes money.
Right.
He's not getting paid that money. So they cut him a check like that. I think he'll be fine with getting back, and they'll get on the same page philosophically for the next few years.
Getting Julio Jones would have been nice, that's for sure. Speaking of Julio Jones, let's dispel a couple of the old trite, tired, go-to complaints whenever a mega deal like this happens. That's next with Wade Smith, John Lopez.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Oh, there's only one ball. There's only one football. That's one of the excuses you're hearing about people who are not buying in on Julio with the Titans. You're also hearing, though, they still have a bad defense. Oh, they still have Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to get into all that, and I think Wade Smith and I are on the same page on that front. But 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's get Larry and Stafford up right away. What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, J-Lo? Smitty, how y'all doing, man?
Terrific. Doing good, man. Doing good.
Hey, man, I can ask that since Lockdog ain't in there complaining about people asking y'all how y'all doing, man. Hey, I wanted to touch on a couple of things, but, Smitty, I got to get with you about your last segment, man, when you was talking about Detroit. How can you say that Detroit don't have enough to do anything with Dan Campbell, but yet you say David Culley and them Texans are going to be okay?
When did I say that was going to be okay? When did I say it was going to be okay? I gave them 4 wins this year. When did I say they're going to be okay?
So, in my book, those 4 wins, are you saying that the Texans are going to win more games than Detroit? Because you said Detroit ain't going to have nothing, right?
I think both of those teams are going to win a similar amount of games, two, three, four win games. Like, Detroit's probably going to be the worst team in the NFL this year. And their GM is not going to have as much leeway as the Texans will.
Ooh, Smitty, we're going to have to put about a hen on that, man.
what you think going to happen then? Tell me, Larry, what's going on?
Well, first of all, I think Jared Goff is going to be a better quarterback than Tyrod Taylor or Davis Mills. I also think that they got a front office, and they got some people in that front office over there that actually are probably pretty good at transitioning players or picking players off of other rosters, because a lot of those dudes, when they signed them in Detroit, I was thinking, man, they'll be perfect fits in Houston. When I'm just talking about on the administrative side of the personnel side of it, because a lot of those scouts there, they have been in the game for a long time. A lot of them got connections with different guys around the league, like Ozzie Newsome and a couple other guys that I know. And I'm thinking that even with Jared Goff and the wide receivers they got up there, that's a better fit. And Dan Campbell might be crazy, but he's just crazy enough to win enough football games. And I'm not a big fan of his biting kneecaps and all that other stuff. I'm just saying, I'm not going to sleep on Detroit. I'm not saying they're going to win the NFC North or anything, but I would put that bottle of hand on Detroit having more wins than the Texans. But I digress. We'll move on and discuss this another day. But I want to talk to you about this also. I heard that that Mark Murphy, the president of the Green Bay Packers, and he did an article about how their fans are divided up there, right?
Yes.
And it made me feel similar to what we're experiencing here in Houston. And he said it, and he's honest about it. He's saying that the Aaron Rodgers thing has caused the fan base to be split, because everybody loves the fact that that's an MVP quarterback, and don't nobody really want him to go. But then there's another segment of the fan base said that he should go. But here's what my point is. I still have not understood, and I know Deshaun has made all the comments that he's made. I still don't understand why Cal McNair hasn't spent every single day in Deshaun Watson's driveway telling him that he's going to be the quarterback and make those changes. I know it's a done deal because of what has transpired, and they may not be able to. But that's what Murphy and them are doing up there in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. That's exactly what the Texans should have been doing with Deshaun Watson. Because when you get those kind of elite quarterbacks, man, they do not grow on trees. That's my only point about all this. Smitty, we're going to talk about that hen, though, in our house.
All right. I mean, I can tell them this, man, as far as that bottle of hen, you look at what Vegas said. Vegas said that Detroit's going to be bad and the Texans are going to both be bad. They're going to be running neck and neck. If the Detroit Lions win more than 5 games this year, I'll give you a bottle of Hennessy.
There you go. It's on the record. Mark that for you.
I'll just get that to you. I get a bottle of Hennessy that show gave me, and I'll send it right to you, Larry. But that ain't happening. They're in the NFC North. Chicago's going to be good because Justin Fields is probably going to be playing.
Yeah.
Minnesota's going to be pretty good. And you know the Packers are going to be good. And that's just in their division. They're not – and you depending on Jared Goff, like Jared, he's your, that's your king. Like, nah, everybody knows that the Rams got better by bringing in Stafford.
Yeah.
And so I just don't see Detroit taking that step. And the chances of them being able to see it all the way through, he was talking about their front office, stuff like that, them being able to see it all the way through from beginning to end, I don't think they're going to have the leeway because you've seen it over the years. Detroit will fire GMs and get rid of coaches very quickly. I think the Texans have notoriously been very methodical and patient with their head coaches and their GMs. And so this GM is basically like their head coach. Like he's going to be the one that's going to build this from ground up, and he's going to have plenty of years to let it vet itself out. And so I just think that the two scenarios are completely different.
All right, let's play a little fact or myth here. Because as Julio Jones was traded almost immediately after Julio Jones was traded to the Tennessee Titans, you know, you start hearing, everybody wants to be contrarian, right? You know, like, okay, yeah, he's awesome. He's the best receiver in the game, and he's done all these other things. I saw one stat. There have only been 31 players in NFL history that have had a 250-yard receiving game. He's got three. He's got three of the 31. That's how awesome Julio Jones is. But immediately there's going to be contrarians. I got three things that people are talking about all the time when they're trying to say, yeah, but there's only one ball, right? What are your thoughts when people start, you know, the old James Harden, Chris Paul argument, there's only one ball?
That's fiction. It's absolute fiction because think about it. Julio Jones played in a very similar offense in Atlanta. His other receivers at some years was Roddy White. Some years it was Calvin Ridley. Those guys are similar in talent and ability as in production as A.J. Brown was and is. It's just A.J. Brown is a more of a physical freak, but there was no complaints from Julio Jones on not getting touches, and there was no complaints from A.J. Brown from not getting touches. A.J. Brown is the biggest proponent of bringing in Julio Jones, so there's no issue of, hey, there's not enough balls to go around. If you run the ball 40 times a game, right, which is a ridiculous number. If you're running about 40 times a game, that's you're running the ball down people's throat. But let's just put that lofty number out there. All right, that means that the Titans are probably running 75 plays a game.
Yeah.
They're running that's still 35 passes. That's still, you know, 10 to 12, 15 targets to both of those guys. They're going to get their touches. Besides those two, you got Josh Reynolds, but he's not a guy that's going to demand the football.
He's going to have a lot of catches.
He's going to get catches because he's going to get a lot of one-on-one matchups, and he's going to, you know, Tannehill's going to find the open guy. But that is an absolute falsehood that there's not enough balls to go around. Now, if you put Julio Jones on, I'm trying to think of a team that just has a bunch of really good skill position players, and you're like, damn, who's going to get? Like, if you put him on, we talked about before of him being with the Cardinals.
Okay.
Like, because you know, D-Hop put it out there. He put the little thing on Instagram. There you might say, all right, I mean, there's only one ball to go around. You got five or six guys that legitimately saying, you know, give me the ball.
Plus a quarterback that runs a lot.
Right. You don't have that in Tennessee. You got your big three. Instead of it being, you know, a tight end, a quarterback, and a running back or whatever. Like, the quarterback is not considered one of the big three. He's just a facilitator.
Yeah.
That's who he's considered. Now, his numbers would say he should be part of a big three, but he's not that guy. He's not that caliber of quarterback. But those skill position players are. I feel like that's not going to be an issue with the Titans at all.
The biggest beneficiary of all is Derrick Henry, in my view.
Yeah.
It's incredible. We went over the numbers earlier, and you can go back and listen to the Odyssey app and hear the entire show. Against the numbers are staggering against the 6-man front, 7-man front, and 8-man front, depending on your position. He's going to see more 6-man fronts, maybe not in first down, because I think people are still going to try to stop the run first against Derrick Henry. But second and third down, especially if he pops one for 4 yards and it's 2nd and 6, he's going to see more 6-man fronts, and he's going to gash people.
I think he's going to be the first running back in the history of the NFL to have back-to-back 2,000-yard seasons.
Crazy.
It's set up for him to do that. If he stays healthy, I don't see him falling off the mat physically. His offensive line, they bring pretty much everybody back. I think they lost the right tackle, and that was it.
Yeah.
But everybody else is coming back. And that scheme lends itself for you having big years of rushing. It causes issues for defenses to try to defend it. And you got the right running back that he's going to put his foot in the ground and get north and south. He's going to press the hole. And he's got receivers on the outside that's going to force decisions. He's going to make these defenses decide, like, pick your poison. And if he's getting 6 and 7 man boxes, he's going to do work. He's done work against 8 man boxes. So I expect a very, and I'm saying I expect. And a lot of times yeah. I see that and I think this might happen. No, I expect him to have a huge year because teams would rather get hit for 6 and 8 and 4s as opposed to getting hit for 25 and 35s and 50-yard touchdowns.
You're reading my mind because players hate Mondays watching film when they have a bad game. And a big misconception is that assistant coaches don't mind them. Assistant coaches hate getting smoked. They hate being out-schemed. So if I'm a defensive coordinator and I'm watching and I'm playing against Tennessee Titans, I will always rather have a 6-man front than an 8-man front against the Tennessee Titans on 2nd and 6. Because I don't want Julio Jones or A.J. Brown to go 80 on my ass. Because then I'm in trouble.
Right.
You know, why'd you do that? You know, Vrabel's going to tell him. Why'd you run an 8-man box on 2nd and 6? They're always going to choose the 6-man box, I feel. Would you agree? On a 2nd and 6 or so.
You're gonna try to die a slow death.
Yeah.
That is the mentality. It's like, hey, we're going to force them to methodically move the ball down the field, and then we can give them opportunities to make some mistakes.
Yeah.
They can fumble the ball here. They can have some type of self-inflicted wound. They can get a penalty. We can force a tackle for loss.
As opposed
to just going over our head.
And looking bad.
Right. And like I said, it's going to depend on Julio Jones' health. A.J. Brown, he had some time that he missed last year as well. If those guys are healthy, all things being equal, that offense, you're not stopping that offense. You're just not. What they talk about Jordan, you don't stop him. You just hope to slow him down. Hope to contain him. Like that. That's what it's going to be because Derrick Henry. It's a perfect goulash. It's a perfect gumbo. It's a perfect mix of all different type of ingredients to have a dominating offense. And they got all the elements you need. He's going to do numbers. 2,000 yards this year, I expect him to do numbers like that.
You heard Wade Smith. Got two more Factor Fictions for you, plus throwing a little bit of NBA. We haven't really talked about we're in the best part of the NBA season right now. And Astros have a bit of a problem that we're going to address as well next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
The air just smells better. The food tastes better. Is it because Landry Locker is not here? I don't know. I'm just saying that it's
wow, shots fired.
Everything just seems so smooth.
Here's my man, Lopez.
That's right.
Landry gonna start loading up. It's a good day. Loading up and making a trip back up here.
It feels like a good day. I'm just kidding. He's not Wally Pipp, but he's out until Wednesday. Wade Smith is in. I'm John Lopez. Figgy Fig, doing all the heavy lifting behind the glass over there. Okay, so we talk about Factor Fiction with the Julio Jones trade. We touched on there's only one ball. The other one. That we hear a lot post Julio Jones trade is, well, they're still a bad defense, and I don't think you can say they're a great defense. I think they've made some moves, whether free agency or acquisitions or draft picks, with their defense. But this is what I told you before the show, and I want to share it here. Here's the Titans defense. You get a lead, you get to the fourth quarter, and you turn around and hand it to Derrick Henry. That's your defense. It, now, easier said than done, but I think their actual defense with Vrabel's ego on the line here, it might be getting a little better as well, huh?
He would have to think that it's going to get better, but people that complain about or say, yeah, but their defense is trash, they have a valid point because the defense was bad last year and it wasn't very good the year before that. Now they brought
that's true.
They brought in DeNico Autry and they brought in Bud Dupree and they drafted a cornerback in the first round, Caleb Farley. They brought in some pieces to try to help build that defense up, but last year the defense is what prevented them from actually competing and being a true contender.
Yeah.
Now they Vrabel's goal is to just get my defense to be average. My offense is going to be so good. If I can be average to above average, or if I can be opportunistic, if I can create turnovers, if we can be one of those type of defenses, then we can compete with the big boys and we can sneak up and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. And it wouldn't be sneaking up. They could legitimately say, yeah, we have a case that we can step in the ring with them and come out on top. Right now, until they actually go out and show it, people that are saying that the defense is going to be their detriment, there's a lot of validity to that. I have no qualms with that line of thinking. But the offense and the way the offense is built will help that defense to be just average, what they need to be. They don't need to be world beaters. They just need to not give it up like, you know. Just get gashed. Yeah. Like last year, it wasn't even close. The defense just wasn't up to par at all. This year, with Derrick Henry being able to run the ball, control the line of scrimmage, with the receivers they got on the outside, and as much time as time of possession is a big factor into how your defense plays, if Tennessee can stay off the field, which I think they will, their defense just needs to be good enough for short bursts of time for them to be an all-around good football team. But detractors against their defense, I don't think that's – I would say that's fact. That's not fiction, that their defense, if they're not a contender, it's going to be because of their defense. It's not going to be because of their offense.
Oh, no, I'm not trying to make excuses for their defense. All I'm saying is I think their offense can be like a chameleon. They can just flat out, presuming it is what we think it's going to be, just blow the game open in the first quarter. You know, whether it's A.J. Brown or – hell, Derrick Henry can blow a game open with a 60-yard run or something. Or Julio Jones. They can be rapid-fire, big-time, explosive offense. And then if they get a lead,
it's a wrap.
Your defense is just turning around, man.
Yeah.
It's just turning around and giving that dude the ball and just running it that way. All right, so the last kind of factor fiction. So we got one fiction. There's only one ball. One fact, although I think that's serviceable,
yeah,
they're still a bad defense. Fact or fiction, yeah, but they still have Ryan Tannehill.
I think that's complete fiction because I understand that people will say Ryan Tannehill, he's a product of his system, but he's in the system.
Yeah.
Like you could be a product of your system all you want to. If you're in that system, you're going to have success. And he's shown that he can be very successful within that system. I think he's improved as a quarterback over the years just overall, period. But he still has all the pieces around him that he needs to be successful. His offensive line is coming back. He's got his running game. He's got his receivers. I mean, he lost Jonnu Smith at the tight end position, but they really didn't get Jonnu Smith the ball as much as they really should have. And so I see Ryan Tannehill having the same type of season as he had the last couple of years, which means he's going to do big numbers. He's going to put up a bunch of points, and he's going to be in another Pro Bowl, and he might be an MVP. Conversations again. Now he won't be the MVP because he's going to be like the fourth best player offensively on his team.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, if you're a quarterback and you're throwing for over 4,000 yards and you're throwing for 30 plus touchdowns and you're only throwing for about 12, 15 interceptions, you're going to be in the conversation of one of the guys that, hey, you're one of the best in the league. And I don't see anything. There's nothing that you're putting out there that says that's not what you're going to get out of Ryan Tannehill. It might be just people have bias towards him because of, you know, him being a former receiver and playing so badly in Miami. But since he's gotten to the right system, and got in the right fit and got the right pieces around him, he's done great numbers, and he's been a very successful quarterback. I don't see why that's going
to
change.
The entire goal, this one is fascinating to me because every team in the NFL wants to get the right players for their system. They got him. He doesn't have the ego of I want to sling it 50 times. He doesn't have the, I've got to be explosive like Kyler Murray or whatever. He can run his ass off. He's real fast.
And it's not like he just runs just because. He makes
it's those, smart.
He
yeah.
makes smart break your back type runs.
Yeah.
Those runs that converts, like he turns what a normal quarterback might get 8 yards, he'll turn it into 20 and a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the type of thing. That's an element he brings to the table. That it's not quite Lamar Jackson, but it's not far off. You know, as far as he's him and Josh Allen are very similar.
He's with really
the
way that fast.
He's been a receiver.
He's really
he used to
fast.
Be a receiver, so he's got receiver speed. Like mm-hmm. he's not a slouch running the ball at all. He's a weapon running the ball, and he's accurate with his throws for the most part. And people complain and say he's a product of his system, but he's in the system.
I'll put it this
he's
way:
in that same system. So I don't. To me, it's a non sequitur. It's a non argument. Like it's a non issue. Like,
yeah.
Well, if you put them with the Green Bay Packers, or can't say Green Bay because they run the same offense. Put them in the Texans offense, or I don't know what their offense is. Can't put them in offense. Put them with the Patriots offense, and if he's supposed to be Tom Brady. Okay, then he's not gonna have that success. But he's in an offense that works very well for him, that he knows backwards and forwards. He's going to go out and thrive.
You can't blame him for reaching their goal. In other words, they found a quarterback that fits for what they do.
Yeah.
And he's there. I'll put it this way, and this is the Wayback Machine, so not all of our listeners are going to be able to relate to this. I don't think Terry Bradshaw would be in the Hall of Fame if he didn't play for that Steelers
team. Of course not. Of course not.
He wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame.
But
he wasn't that good.
But he
was key, and he was smart.
He was, but he also made big plays. He was there.
That's
in the
what
big
I'm saying.
Moments.
He was clutch.
He was clutch. But he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Legitimately, you can't take that away.
John Stallworth, Lynn Swann, Franco Harris. Yeah, that helps.
No question. You got defense. A bunch of Hall of Fames around you. And you know, like, yeah, that's a great point you bring up, Terry Bradshaw. It reminds me of the whole Joe Namath conversation. Like, he pushed the game forward. But as far as him as a quarterback and playing the game, he didn't have Hall of Fame numbers. He wasn't that guy.
He could sling it though.
He could sling it, but yeah. You know, he like I said, he grew the game and he brought the game forward and brought it to the forefront because he was such an iconic figure and,
yeah.
and people wanted to believe in him and those natures. And he was Broadway Joe. Terry Bradshaw, if you put him on,
I know it's a can of worms. I don't think he would be in the Hall of Fame.
Listen, if you trade him, like if he gets drafted by the Oilers.
And put Pastorini there?
Pastorini.
Come on now.
With the Steelers.
Who had twice the arm.
Right. Pastorini would be,
yeah.
you know, Terry Bradshaw.
And I'd have a lot more money off that book.
Yeah, you would. Well, you wouldn't know Pastorini.
That's true. I'd be doing a Terry Bradshaw book and people are going, who?
Yeah.
Who's that guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
How much playoffs are you watching now, man, NBA?
A bunch, man. I tell you what, man, the youngsters are showing out.
Thank you.
The youngsters, Trae Young, and unfortunately for the Mavericks and Luka Doncic, he fell off he didn't fall off, but the team is out.
Yeah.
But Trae Young and what's my guy from it was Ja Morant, but they're about to get put out.
Tatum is another young one.
But he got put out.
Right now, I mentioned this to you guys before the show. I love this playoffs.
Did I say Jay Morant? Ja Morant.
Yeah, Ja Morant. Yeah.
I had to correct that before the text line got on me.
I love these playoffs because you're seeing the next faces of the league.
Yeah.
Trae Young.
It's a changing of the guard.
That dude, come on. And Luka, what else could he do?
I mean, he's averaged damn near 40 points a game.
Yeah.
You need some help. So
I totally agree. And of the eight teams remaining, not a single one has won a championship since 1984.
I think that's good for the league.
I think it's awesome for the league.
It's great for the league because now any league that every team feels like they have a chance at the beginning of the season, mm-hmm. and then it actually shows that, it bears that out by the end of the year, that's good for the league because now everybody.
It's not LeBron or Steph.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody has a vested interest of what's going on. And I think now will that translate with the ratings?
Well, the ratings have been down anyway.
It's going to hurt because casual fans are going to watch LeBron or casual fans are going to watch Steph Curry. But as far as, you know, ticket sales and merchandise sales, and I think in other ways, NBA will be a little bit more healthier because more teams actually have an opportunity to win a championship.
All right, who you got? You too, Figgy. We got Philadelphia, Atlanta. Trae Young already got them that 1-0 lead in this series. Then you got in the East, Milwaukee and Brooklyn. Ah, man, James Harden. He's got that Chris Paul disease now with the hammies. Then you got in the West, Utah and the Clippers. That's going to tip off tomorrow. And tonight, Nuggets and Suns. I want to pick Brooklyn, not because I like them, but because I thought they had the most talent. But I'm really having my doubts on them.
See, I don't trust Giannis at all. I can't trust Giannis as far as I can throw him.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn is going to come out of the East. That's just Harden or no Harden. I mean, did you see what happened? You know, Harden went out in the first quarter. They still won the game.
No, I know.
I mean, he went out in the first quarter. They still won the game. Like, they built a super team. And when you have a super team, you can lose a guy. You can't lose two guys, but you can lose a guy and still play at a very high level. I just think Brooklyn, they're the team to beat in the East. The other series, you know, Atlanta
Utah
won game
and Clippers
one.
And Nuggets and Suns.
Well, on the East.
On the East. You're talking about a Philadelphia and Atlanta?
Yeah. Atlanta won game one, but I don't see them winning that series. I think Trae Young and all that is going to run out. I think it's going to be the Philadelphia 76ers. And then on the West, I mean, this is to me, Utah and Jokic, like, I mean, not Jokic, Utah and
I think the Clip.
What's my kid's name?
Who are you talking about for Utah?
The post player, Mr. COVID.
Gobert.
Gobert, yeah.
Oh, Rudy Gobert, okay.
Rudy Gobert. Like, them and Denver are the two teams to beat in the West. I don't trust the Clippers. The Clippers should have got beat by the Mavericks. So, to me, it's going to be those two teams.
See what I think is going to happen? Figgy, who do you like first of all?
With the Clipper?
No, with the for the championship. Who are the final two teams?
I'm gonna say Brooklyn. I'm gonna say the Clippers, man. I think the Lakers getting put out early like that. I think they might have a little motivation to run the table.
My thing with the Clippers is I think they were like this close to being eliminated.
Yeah.
But since they weren't, it's going to be one of those things like in an NCAA tournament when a number two seed gets pushed to a last second, but they survive and then they run the table. I think the Clippers had that eye-opening series and all of a sudden they're like, ooh, because Kawhi really stepped it up there, you know, especially in game seven. And I just think, I mean, who's better than them? I know you chose a higher seed, but who's better than them in the West? Booker in Phoenix? Okay. You know, Denver, I think the Clippers are going to actually run the table and maybe face Brooklyn. I just have my doubts with no Harden.
But that's the good thing about it is all eight teams, you can make a legitimate argument to say they can advance.
Yeah.
Because Brooklyn's health issues, because of Philly's health issues, you could see a scenario where Atlanta wins and where Milwaukee wins. Because in the West, you know, Phoenix has a damn good ball club too. Mm-hmm. You know, I could see them coming out of the West. I can see the Clippers coming out of the West. But if I had to put my money on it and I had to bet, I think it's going to be Denver and Utah, and it'll probably be Utah just because they're a healthier team. Jamal Murray is not with Denver. He's out for the season. That's going to be the difference. And then in the East, Brooklyn has too much firepower. They built a super team, and they're going to come out the East.
I could see Trae Young has one more round in him. Yeah. And then it's just too hard. When you only have – I know they have more than him, but and they're a good squad and all kinds of good, you know, Capella and all these others.
Right.
But it's really him. I mean, he's the one that's carrying the team. You might do that for two series, but you're not going to do it for three.
Yeah, eventually it'll catch up with you.
Yeah, it'll catch up with him in the NBA more than anything. So I think it'll be Atlanta and Brooklyn. Brooklyn will probably benefit from Trae Young kind of running out of gas, and I think the Clippers are going to come out of the West. It's fun, man. Let's do it again tomorrow. That's Wade Smith, Figgy Fig. I did want to ask you real quick, anything going on with – you had a bunch of stuff happening with your foundation in recent days. I've been seeing some pictures. Anything happening that we need to share?
Oh, yeah. We actually we forged a partnership with Alvin ISD. They're doing a book bus. And so it's a mobile
book bus. Maybe
that's
what I saw.
Yeah, you probably saw that retweet from me and the foundation page, but we have a partnership between the Waysmith Foundation and Alvin ISD. And so we're going to be doing a mobile book bus this summer. So there's going to be different areas. We're going all over Alvin ISD's, you know, where their schools are located. And we're going to be reading to kids. And it's a combination of reading with the pros and their book bus that they do at Alvin ISD, and they're excited about it. And so looking forward to being able to spread the joy and the love of literacy to our kids that are going out and enjoying themselves on summer vacation.
All right. Good deal. And it is summertime, camp time, all that other good stuff. Figgy Fig, thanks for everything, man. You are, as we always like to say, the best at what you do. We'll have Wade Smith back tomorrow. I'm John Lopez. Coming up, you got to stay locked in. You can listen to our show going back to the Odyssey app if you missed anything. But next, we got Clint Sterner and the show right here on Sports Radio 610. And I can't stop thinking about the way things used to be. And I can't stop thinking about the love that you made for me. Peggy, let's hit it big time.
Thank you, Peggy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.